All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From KNX News 97.1 FM,
this is Countdown 2024.
Charles Feldman and Margaret Carrero.
And welcome back from Thanksgiving. How was yours, Margaret?
It was really nice and relaxing. How about yours?
It was pretty good, and that made me think 49 days.
Yeah, sure it did. Of course it did.
Yeah, 40, that's all I thought about. 49 days to go until the transition from Joe Biden back to Donald Trump. On today's Countdown 2024, we're talking with a pair of former White House attorneys to help digest two different events over the last couple of days, one from the outgoing Biden administration and one from the incoming Trump administration, that illustrates how far traditional political norms and standards have broken down in the U.S. Presidential pardons and FBI nominations coming up on today's show. But first, this.
After months of insisting that he would do no such thing, President Joe Biden on Sunday night issued a full and unconditional pardon for his son, Hunter Biden, that covers all possible legal misconduct stretching from 2014 to the present day. Hunter was facing sentencing in a federal gun case and a federal tax evasion case, and several members of the incoming Trump administration had made it clear that they were ready to restart investigations of corruption allegations against the president's son. President Biden's move has been largely criticized by both Democrats and Republicans alike.
With Donald Trump's formal selection of Kash Patel to be director of the FBI, the president-elect seemed to be signaling loudly and clearly that he will use federal law enforcement tools to go after his perceived enemies. Patel, a fierce Trump loyalist who had a highly controversial turn in the first Trump administration, has vowed to go on a retribution tour on behalf of the president. Now, somewhat lost in the debate over Patel's selection was Trump's intention to once again fire the FBI director, Christopher Wray, who Trump appointed back in 2017 after firing then-FBI director James Comey. Only two FBI directors have ever been fired by presidents.
Conservative pundit and Trump supporter Dinesh D'Souza issued an apology and admitted in a public statement that his 2020 election conspiracy documentary, 2000 Mules, which has long been discredited, was based on faulty analysis and incorrect premises. 2000 Mules had been used by Trump himself and his supporters as evidence that his 2020 election loss was somehow illegitimate. D'Souza, who's facing a lawsuit over his claims in the movie, was himself pardoned by Trump during his first term over a campaign finance felony conviction.
Before Donald Trump has even been sworn in to occupy the White House again, the country is already facing what could be the beginning of several ethical crises. And they're not all from Trump, with the current president playing a prominent role in these controversies. So we're going to go through all of it with a couple of experienced White House hands. John Dean served as White House counsel for President Richard Nixon during the Watergate affair, and Richard Painter served as chief White House ethics lawyer for President George W. Bush. He's now a professor at the University of Minnesota Law School. Both of you gentlemen, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
John, let's start with you, and let's start with the most recent news, which is out of the current White House and out of the current president. And that's Joe Biden's decision to pardon his son. As we pointed out, it's being criticized by not just Republicans and certainly by Donald Trump, but also some fellow Democrats. Did he make the right move?
I think it was a great move. I think it was not only a very personal move, father-son, but I think he also received a good bit of information which changed his thinking when he said, I will not pardon my son. And I think that new thinking came from the assembling of information for sentencing for Hunter Biden. Apparently there was a 62-some-page document that his lawyers prepared to show how out of the ordinary the two cases that he'd been subjected to were. They were not in the norm. And there were also strong indications that there would be abusive use of the process against him if indeed he ever did have to serve time in jail. So those changed the president's thinking, and I think he did the right thing, not only as president, but as a father.
Yeah, but that being said, John, what about the notion of somebody sticking by their word? And I know you're going to say, well, things changed. You just did, really. But nonetheless, he had said repeatedly, as you know, until very recently, that he was not going to pardon his son, that he was going to go by the jury and he was going to go by the Justice Department, and that was that. And they shot down any suggestion of anything otherwise. Doesn't it,
Charles, I agree with you that he was going to play by the norms. This was a norm-busting situation. In fact, the Democrats at large have played by the norms, thinking somehow that this might influence Trump to honor the norms. Trump doesn't honor norms. He does whatever the hell he thinks he can get away with, and then pushes it even further. I find it ludicrous to be critical of Mr. Biden for changing his mind on this and deciding to pardon his son. Absolutely ludicrous. And I find that the Democrats who are doing it, it's their pattern to eat their own. And so we're watching it again. I'm not a member of any organized party, to paraphrase a once observation of politics.
Richard, let's bring you into this conversation. I'm wondering if you see Biden's pardoning of Hunter as perhaps a response to Kash Patel being Trump's pick for FBI director, and if so, why?
Well, I think it was a predictable response of a president who's also a father, given the situation that Hunter Biden has been through in his personal life. You know, it is true that these charges are somewhat outliers. We don't see other similar prosecutions on these types of charges, although rarely do you have someone with the gun charge and the tax charge at the same time. I think that, yes, it was a campaign promise, but politicians break their campaign promises all the time. And I've been critical of Joe Biden for breaking other campaign promises. To me, that's not the big deal here. I really do think, however, that President Biden should have simply issued the pardon without the explanation. The explanation was detailed criticism of the prosecution. I understand that from the defense perspective, defense lawyers and the defendants and their families often do feel that prosecutors are overreaching. But the problem is the president of the United States is ultimately, as we've learned from the Supreme Court of the United States in the Trump versus the United States case, the president is in charge of the Justice Department. And this is the Justice Department serving under President Biden. I don't think he needed to go into detail about his criticism of the prosecution. It's his son. Simply pardon his son without the statements about the Justice Department. The problem is that President Biden's very critical statement that was released yesterday about the Justice Department, about the special prosecutor, plays into the Trump playbook, the argument that, well, all these independent prosecutors, they're all just political. And Trump need only take the Biden statement, change the names, change it to Jack Smith, make himself the victim, and play this game of saying, well, the independent prosecutors, that the Justice Department doesn't work. I think the Justice Department has done its job. They did their job in the Trump cases. They just got started way too late. They ran out of time. And I believe they did their job in the Hunter Biden case. And they can be criticized. But I just wish the president had given the pardon without the lengthy statement attacking his own Justice Department. That's just going to come back to bite next year when Donald Trump makes these very, very personal attacks on DOJ, on the FBI, as part of some deep state.
We're speaking with Richard Painter, who served as chief White House ethics attorney for President George W. Bush, and John Dean, who served as White House counsel for President Richard Nixon. John, should Biden have just, while he was at it, why not issue a blanket pardon for all of those people who the Trump administration, or the future Trump administration, has either indicated or outrightly said they were going to go after?
Well, I did post on I don't know whether you tweet or what you do when you're on
you
Blue
exit,
Sky.
You exit.
But I did.
Blue. Okay, the other one, Blue Sky. Okay.
I did. I left X. it was a little. It was too much for me over there. But anyway, I did post that on Blue Sky, a post to that effect that he should keep issuing some additional pardons to, in essence, take Trump's campaign pledge for revenge and retribution, and particularly those he's already targeted, and publicly so, and just issue a blanket of pardon. It would cover those who are doing nothing but is normal political activity or political speech, and not let them somehow try to criminalize it by giving creating some sort of safe harbor. This would have to be carefully thought out how they did it, but it would take the potential of using and abusing the process to a lot of people who don't need to be attacked and would be attacked unfairly. I mean, going after, you know, prosecuting prosecutors is not the norm, and even putting them in jeopardy or forcing them to be investigated is just not what these career people signed up for when they went to the Department of Justice. And many of them probably had no choice in joining that team. They were assigned. So, yes, I think there are additional pardons that can be granted. I doubt he'll do it, but it's certainly something that I think should be given thought.
All right, we were going to take a break. Much more on pardons, ethics, and norms for the duration of today's Countdown 2024 next.
It's Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM. This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Welcome back to the show. Along with Charles Feldman, I'm Margaret Carrero.
And sticking with us, former White House counsels John Dean and Richard Painter. Let's move on from Joe Biden and the pardon of his son to incoming President Donald Trump and his nominees for various cabinet posts and the suggestion that perhaps the Senate go into recess so he can appoint some or all without the requisite Senate intervention and scrutiny. So, Richard, let me start with you on that. Troubling, is it not, how many Republican senators seem to be suggesting that, if necessary, they would go along with that?
Well, we're going to see what happens. When I was the chief ethics lawyer for the Bush White House, the Republican senators were quite exacting in their scrutiny of nominees. Senator Grassley of Iowa, I remember in particular, being very exacting in asking a lot of questions, because the senators did not want to be in the position of voting to confirm someone who had a serious problem in their background or an ethics conflict of interest. The Democrats can always vote no on a Republican nominee. They really aren't interested in the background unless they want to use it to attack the nominee in the hearing, but they're going to vote no anyway, a lot of them. That was our experience. But the Republicans, they're going to be responsible and they're held accountable by the voters. So I think the Republican senators, at their peril, give the White House a pass on loose background checks or financial conflict of interest and other problems. We need thorough background checks, FBI background checks on nominees. And I think at the end of the day, the senators will insist on it. We already have seen the Department of Justice nominee, that nomination be changed in response to some pushback from the senators. We may see that with some other nominees to some other positions. Otherwise, the senators who just vote yes because they want to go along with the president without doing their job, performing their constitutional duty, are going to have some trouble with the voters 2 years from now, the third of them that are up for re-election, and then the others down the road from there.
John, what are your expectations for how the so-called guardrails, be they constitutional checks and balances or maybe government personnel who still feel guided by constitutional principles, actually hold up in a second Trump administration, especially if someone like Kash Patel ends up leading the FBI?
Well, Kash Patel, it's interesting. The FBI is a creature of the Department of Justice. It's not a statutory institution. So there are not many guardrails around the FBI. It really is a kind of loosely formed operation that's got a lot of norms behind it. But Mr. Trump has shown a disposition to ignore norms if he's even aware of them. So I, you know, Margaret, it's a tough question to address because so many norms were ignored during his first term, and he has he's campaigned on the fact that he's going to play this whole second term very differently, down to he may take a third term, claiming that the Constitution is not written to cover him because there was an interruption in his presidency, so he could actually have a third term. I don't have great hopes. I think there are going to be a lot of litigation on some of these issues. I think we do. We are at the edge right now of a growing potential constitutional crisis. It's going to take many forms and shapes and lots of headlines.
Well, that actually sort of touches on my next question, and I'll throw it to you, Richard, to look to the future a bit. And what do you think the next, forget 4 years, the next 2 years is likely to bring? I mean, keeping in mind that tens of millions of Americans are very enthusiastic about Donald Trump retaking the White House. They're very enthusiastic about his selections, nominees for his cabinet. And obviously, tens of millions of other people are not. Where do you see us going in the next couple of years?
Well, he did win the election for a variety of reasons, and we don't need to get into all of that now. And there are some substantial number of Americans who agree with his agenda, a number of people who voted for him in support of his agenda while still skeptical about his personality and his personal conduct, and others who may have voted for him for other reasons. He does have a Republican-controlled House and a Republican-controlled Senate. So the choice now is his. Does he want to govern according to the Constitution of the United States and implement his policy priorities that he promised the voters? And I believe he could get some legislation through a Republican-controlled Congress. Or does he just want to go it alone and do whatever he wants and nominate whoever he wants and try to force the senators to go along to engage in conduct that is marginal at best and potentially illegal, and end up getting himself tied up in the courts, thinking that the U.S. Supreme Court is just going to give him a pass on whatever he does. Yes, he has criminal immunity from criminal prosecution for a lot of his official acts, but that doesn't mean that the courts aren't going to enjoin conduct that's illegal. He needs to make a choice here. Does he want to run this as a normal administration, taking advantage of his political capital in the new Congress, or does he just want to do whatever he wants and thumb his nose at the law? And if he chooses the latter route, I think this administration is going to descend into chaos very, very quickly.
All right, we have to take a quick break here. We will continue our discussion with White House counsels, former White House counsels, Richard Painter and John Dean.
This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Welcome back to the Tuesday edition of Countdown 2024. Along with Margaret Carrero, I'm Charles Feldman. Actually,
it's Monday. I know, it's the holiday gets us all mixed up,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Former Nixon White House counsel John Dean and former Bush White House ethics counsel Richard Painter remain with us to finish out today's show. John, I want to just ask you a quick question about Kash Patel and him being the president-elect's pick. A former FBI agent wrote an opinion piece saying that Patel's problems go beyond his incompetence. His record shows no devotion to the Constitution, but blind allegiance to Trump. Your thoughts on that?
Well, my thought harks back to Nixon putting a political figure in to run the FBI after Hoover died, who'd been there for 40-some years. Nixon put Patrick Gray in as the acting director and then would nominate him but withdraw the nomination. During the year that Gray was there, there were leaks after leaks after leaks after leaks. The rank and file did not want him to become the director. He actively campaigned to be director. He went to field offices, gave speeches. They all had to attend and applaud. And there was great resentment in the FBI at a political effort or an effort by Nixon to politicize the FBI. So we'll see what happens if indeed it's not Kash Patel who may or may not be able to get confirmed. If he tries another political figure in there, I think it could backfire on him.
All right. That is former White House counsel for President Nixon, John Dean. We were also joined today by Richard Painter, who served as chief White House ethics lawyer for President George W. Bush.
Coming up on Tuesday's Countdown 2024, Tuesday, of course, being tomorrow because
yes.
Today is, despite what I said, today is Monday. And what follows Monday?
Tuesday.
Adam Schiff was a starring character in the first Trump resistance when he helped to lead two impeachments. But now he's back in a familiar role, albeit with increased clout, as one of California's U.S. senators. Senator-elect Adam Schiff talks with us tomorrow, which is
Tuesday.
If you missed the show, catch up on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Countdown 2024. Follow the show any day
yes,
of the week.
Every day
every
of
day.
The week, in fact.